Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I
We thank you, Lord God, for every good and perfect gift, recognizing that it all comes, Father, above. Nothing we do to deserve it, nothing we did to earn it. It's simply God's goodness, you know, his mercies that are renewed every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies we seek. We serve a God that is moved with compassion. You know, his compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. And we bless our risen Savior. We bless his holy and righteous name on today. Matthew 24, then our foundational scriptures. We're talking about the end time, a sign of his coming, and an end of the age. Amen. So we thank the Lord, and we bless his holy and righteous name. And we pray for the greatest teacher, the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of truth, that's him to lead us and guide us and teach us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Give us of thy Spirit, Lord God, afresh and anew. We thank God for a spirit that's worthy to come into his very presence. We thank God for that. Wash us in your blood. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Come, bless us, God, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept as our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God. We thank God. And amen. Matthew 24 is what we're going to take. We're going to start off and do a summary, a review of those things that we've been talking about over the past 2 months, recognizing that this particular word is an end time word, and it points to the, you know, the end time. It points to this time that we're living in. Of course, we all know from the signs of the time that we're living in that we're living in the end time. Not only that, the very fact that Jesus said the generation that saw Israel became a nation, the seed all fulfilled. What fulfilled? The sign of his coming and an end of this age, of this world, of this dispensation, of this system that we're living in. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to shew him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I said unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon the other that shall not be torn down. And as he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and said saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and an end of the world or the age? Amen. We certainly thank God for the word. We certainly thank God for the written word. Jesus had left the temple. After going into the temple, he saw that that they were using the temple to sell, you know, to trade, to gamble. You know, so he got angry and he chased them out of the temple. Turned over the tables, the money changers, and went out of the temple. He was angered by the fact that they had turned the house of God into a house of thieves. He said, my house should be called the house of prayer. So we thank God that, you know, overturning the table, he went to Mount of Olives, sit there privately with his disciples, and they came unto him after talking about leaving and going away. The disciples came unto him privately and asked him for a sign of his coming and the end of the age. Amen. Sign of his coming and an end of the age. And Jesus said unto them, see ye all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall be not left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. The temple that they were so, you know, amazed by, this great edifice, you know, was torn down by the Roman government. They came looking for gold. They thought that the Jews had, in the building of the temple, that they had taken gold and hidden it within the stone wall. So they came and they tore the whole building down in search of money. Amen? They tore the whole building down in search of money. And as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came into them privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and an end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. We understand clearly that except there be a falling away first, there'd be a falling away. You know, it's the end shall not come. We learn from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the end time is, of course, this time that we're living in, there's so much going on in the religious world, in the religious community, and many shall fall away from the faith. You know, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, Paul the brother Paul said, preach the word, the instant in season and out of season, reprove, exalt, with all long suffering and doctrine. You know, this time that we're living in is, you know, except there be a falling away first, the Bible let us know that the end shall not come. When the church is removed from the earth, then the man of sin can be revealed. A religious deception. You know, religious deception. There's so many churches, so many different doctrines, so many different kinds of religion. Man's heart has failed him. You know, man's heart has become sinful and darkened with, you know, the cares of this life. Take heed that no man deceive you. You know, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. The Bible let us know that there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and the end thereof leadeth to destruction. But the way that leads to eternal life is straight and narrow. Straight and narrow. And few, the Bible let us know that few findeth that pathway. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There's a place in the Bible, at least in Jeremiah 6, talks about finding the old pathway and walk therein. Holiness is still right. The Bible is still right. Holiness is still right. Holiness without no man shall see God. We still got to live a life, a righteous life. You know, we still got to mortify the deeds of this flesh. Only the righteous shall see him, says the word. So we must put on righteousness, put on holiness. We still have to gird up the loins of our mind, sanctify, set apart for the Master's use. So we have to live right. The Bible, the Word said, if we live right, heaven belongs to us. Only the righteous shall see Him. Amen? So we got to live a life according to God's standards, according to God's will, His purpose, His principles, and His precepts. Follow peace with all men. Holiness without, no man shall see God. And we thank God for, we know that holiness is right. Holiness, and God is holding us accountable for the things that we do in this flesh. Amen. Sanctified, set apart for the Master's use, predestined to eternal life. Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. And see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. A nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence, and earthquake in diverse places. All these things are the beginning. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. Brothers and sisters, trouble is one of those things that will put man on his knees, will cause man to seek God's face, will cause man to turn away from his wicked ways. Trouble will bring revival, will put clapping in the hand. You know, trouble. That word trouble, you know, as it is. You know, it's one of those things that nobody wants to have trouble. But according to the Bible says that man born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. And God only knows that we're living in a very troubled world. Perplexed on every side with all kinds of damnable things, the lifestyle, the people, the danger, the very fact that we live in such an evil and dangerous society, a beautiful world, but an evil society. People are intimidated by their neighbors and the government and failing and all kinds of pressure and problems, you know, family problems. You know, it's just in society, the attitudes and the distances, the problems in our society today. Man is perplexed. You know, trouble is one of those things that causes man to, like anything else, look to God for help. Will turn man back to God. Trouble does that. So God uses trouble. You know, God uses it. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence. Earthquakes, pestilence. All these things are signs of the times. Perilous times, the Bible talks about. So, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, ethnically, ethnos. When you have people in the same country, can't come on one accord and fight in one another. When there's separation among the people, you know, we were created, you know, a nation to serve God, this United States, and God we trust. But know, in today's society, people are moved by different things. There's a lot of problems in this country, a lot of things that cause man's heart to fail. You know, we tend not to believe anything or believe anything that anybody says. You know, we have to check it out. So we thank God that we're in this time and this dispensation, moving toward the end. The church is excited, recognizing that time down here is winding up and coming to a close, you know, on our way home. And the fact that we can see the signs of the time, recognizing that Jesus is on his way back to rapture or to remove his people from this world that we live in. God saved the church from the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. 69th week, the Messiah was cut off. It's 70 weeks were determined upon the people to make an end of sin and to anoint the Most Holy. There's 1 week in the balance for the tribulation. Thank God that the church won't go through the tribulation. Although this judgment and the whole world goes through the tribulation, you know, and ideally, this is a judgment that God brought on Israel for refusing to receive the King, Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. You know, they were looking for a warrior, somebody that would take them into battle against the Roman Empire. But Jesus didn't come for to fight the wars and to battle at this time. He came to die for the sins of the world, and we are grateful for it, to pay a debt that nobody could pay and redeem us. Sins of this world. Nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. Actually, 2,000 years ago when Jesus made this statement, we have been in the end time. We're just simply, at this time, we are stationed. You know, as far as the table is concerned, at the end of time, when he gives us the conclusion that Israel becoming a nation and the generation that saw Israel become a nation, which he had all fulfilled. And what was that? The sign of his coming in the end of the age. Sign of his coming. At an end of the age. We're talking about the end time. This generation of people that saw Israel become a nation, would see it all fulfilled. You know, we would simply pass from life to eternal life without ever tasting death. From life eternal life. The assembly will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. The generation that saw Israel become a nation would see it all fulfilled. And then we are in that time now that Jesus is soon to come. And we have to be in that place of readiness. To them that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The Bible let us know if that same Spirit dwelleth in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it shall also quicken your mortal body. Amen. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready. Jesus bear witness that God was a spirit. And we that worship him, the Bible let us know, must worship him in spirit as well as in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And the brother Paul let us know that if we crucify the works of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, walk in the spirit, for we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But these two things are contrary, one from the other. For they war against each other. The war, the flesh wars against the spirit. So we have to be conscious of who we are and what we are. We are spirit. We have a soul, and we live in this body. We got to walk in the spirit, so we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Being led by the spirit, you know, carnality. You know, we got enough carnal Christians, form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You know, we have got to crucify the deeds and mortify the deeds of our flesh. We got to crucify it. Amen. So the things that you would do because you desire to serve God and the love of God constrains us, so we don't live to ourselves, but rather to him that died for us. Amen. So we thank God for living a victorious life. We thank God for living a victorious life. Let's look at verse 9 and verse 10. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Let's go back to verse 9. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. The only way that we are not deceived, you know, we got to get into this Bible, into this word. We got to study, show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word truth. Father, let us know that only the truth will make man free. And see, you know, we have got to know God for ourselves. Study this word. We really got to develop a personal relationship with the Lord. It comes through, you know, meditation, prayer, studying, talking with the Lord, having your personal worship experiences, sitting down in your house, putting on your stereo, yeah, putting some music and relaxing and meditating on the things of God. You know, we really have got to take time out of our busy schedules and seek the Lord while he can be found. We got to feel after him. It would be not far from any one of us. The reason why people are deceived is because, as anything else, they don't have an understanding of this word. The word is not rightly divided. You know, having the form of godliness. This is what Paul was talking about in perilous time, a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. A powerless church, you know, no miracles, no move of the Spirit, out of touch with God. It's impossible to come to church on Sunday and pick up Jesus and have a wonderful service and a powerful move of the Holy Ghost without having spent time with him all week long. You know, we can't just pick this thing up on Sunday through our accolades and hand movements and all of that and expect a mighty move of God to see deliverance. You know, we've got to get to a place where we come in, you know, be in, you know, what I mean by that is you got to spend time with God. You got to come on in. You can't straddle the fence. We can't, you know, live saved and unsaved and, you know, on again, back and forth, up and down. You got to commit yourself to this work. You know, the things that we desire in our heart, like anything else, I mean, the heart, out of the heart of man. I mean, it's in your heart. I mean, the things that we believe in, the things that we love, the things that we admire, the things that have our attention and our desires. I mean, the things that we can be touched by. You know, there's something about this, you know, this personal abiding fellowship and relationship that comes from your connection, from your involvement. I mean, nobody can know this thing for you. You know, we can't, people, you know, everybody has to do their part. Everybody has to, you know, the body has many members. So, you know, we all have a part to play in it. So, you know, God expects us to be a lively stone. You know, he expects us to be a royal priesthood, that we shoot forth the praises of God. You know, he expects us to have this strength or this abiding fellowship and relationship. He expects, you know, us to know him intimately. In other words, he expects the fellowship and knowing him in the fullness of his glory. You know, he expects this. So we come, you know, we have to put aside some of our busyness and simply, you know, dedicate time to consecration and fasting and all of these things that make the relationship real. You have to spend time with people to get to know them. Spend time with God. He spends time with us. You know, we have to slow our pace down. Amen. The end time is here, brothers and sisters. We are living in the end time, and these are dangerous times that we're living in. You know, not so much that the world is a violent place and a corrupt place, but the fact that we, because of the time, we don't want to get left here to go through the tribulation. Again, this judgment is really a judgment that is poured out on Israel because of their disobedience. But the whole world experiences. You know, only the righteous will see him. Only the church, those that are born again, saved, sanctified, those that are, you know, only the true in heart. So, you know, the church is a special, chosen, chastened bride, sanctified. So we want to make sure that we give this our all, you know, not just a little bit. We want to give it our all. We want to make sure that he has our full attention. We don't want to get left here for whatever reason and to have to go and come into the tribulation. Amen. We want to be able to, you know, when the Lord comes, you know, we to be caught up with him in that number. Well, everything that I'm seeing here sounds like a warning. Take heed. You know, take heed. You know, this kind of, you know, urgency. There's an urgency to do it. You know, it's letting us know that there's danger, there's deception. There's problems in the world, famine and war and all of these struggles that people go through. So, you know, God is warning us, forewarning us, giving us full understanding about the pressure and the problems in life. But, of course, he turns around and uses those things because man, problems and trouble causes him to seek God's face. A lot of warnings. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. A lot of warnings. You know, a lot of warnings. God is warning us, telling us to be on our watch. Watch and pray always. Pray that you be accounted worthy to escape. You know, this is what he's saying to us. Watch and pray always. Pray that you be accounted worthy to escape. You know, this is the things that he's saying to us. You know, these are intense. These are not only intense, but serious times. The attack that goes on, not only spiritually, and that's a whole different conversation. I mean, if we were to look at this thing from a spiritual point, you know, everything that happens on the earth happens first in the heavens. You know, so, you know, we got to look at these things. You know, don't get to a place, like he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, the time and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, but yourself know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come upon them and travail like a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, drunken in the night, those that sleep in the night, drunken in the night. I mean, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to attend salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, salvation, three parts, sanctification, justification, and the last phase is glorification. Now, God didn't intend for us to go through tribulation. He made a way of escape called the rapture. So we got to be in a place to be in that rapture zone, to be ready when he comes. Not asleep. We're just talking about the church. You know, we're talking to the church and these issues, that these problems and situation as it relates to the church. and you think that this is a problem, the tribulation, far worse than anything that you can even imagine. In fact, with the Antichrist, when he takes his place in power, there'll be all kinds of atrocities. There are all kinds of inhumane things that will happen here on this earth. You know, people dying for their testimony. And then John saw such a great number, a number that no man could number, that were killed for their testimony. I mean, people are going to go through a lot. And the world is going to be strange. It's going to be very different. Human rights will be of no value. So, you know, the only power that's going to be present is, you know, Satan is going to be here, and he's going to give his power to the Antichrist, and he's going to take his position and rule for 7 years. You know, we're talking about a time like it's never been seen before. In fact, Jesus called it, the middle of the week, he called it a great tribulation. Not only are we going to have problems, they're going to have problems with the Antichrist, but the vile judgments and the trumpet judgment, and God will begin to pour out his wrath upon the earth. So, you know, this is going to be, it's hard to describe to human beings because it's stuff that we've never seen before. And I wouldn't say we haven't seen it, but on this scale where the whole world is experiencing it, you know, we've never seen anything like this. And because of that, you know, of course, people are not so concerned because it's nothing that they can relate to. But God has given us forewarning. He's telling us in advance to do it his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his way. You know, let him forsake his ways. This is, the heaven is higher than the earth. So are my ways than your ways. He tells us to repent, you know, let us return to the Lord, you know, seek his face and do his will. You know, this is what he tells us. Repent. My people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then shall I heal the land and forgive their sins. You know, we have fallen from grace. We've taken grace and mercy and turned it into something, you know, a right and a will to do all kinds of damnable things. Grace and the mercy God gives us. You know, his grief, his mercy and his love is far-reaching. It's beyond any kind of love that we understand as people. Because nobody loves this way. God loves us totally, completely. You know, he loves us beyond any kind of love that we've ever experienced. So we take grace and mercy and we take it for granted. We act as if though it has to be this way. You know, had it not been for the Lord that was on our side. Just think about our situation. Think about how bad it would be here. We didn't have a God that loved and cared for us in spite of all of our weaknesses and our problems and our failures and our fears, concerns. You know, we have a loving God who's moved with compassion, who has compassion upon his brow. And we are so grateful for this. So we thank God for a compassionate Savior. He's trying to get us and do everything within his power for us to recognize, you know, his word is true. His word and his testimony stands. You know, the testimony of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the testimony still stands. Now, he loves his people. With a dying love, you know, with a deep love. God loves us, without a doubt. He loves us. He loves me. And he loves you. we should embrace his love. You know, we should answer the call. You know, we should, you know, understand what he's trying to do and how he's trying to work it out in our lives. Put us back together again. The brokenness that we have as human beings, you know, God is truly trying to put us back together again. Amen. So we ought to embrace that love. We should embrace the love. We should embrace his word and do what is necessary to please him. Amen. We should be in a position to say yes. Say yes to his will, yes to his way, and bless his holy and righteous name. Truly the Lord is good. Matthew 24 is deep and it's rich and it's real. It's real. And the things that the Bible talks about 2,000 years ago. Deception. If you only knew, you know, we can't just do anything, you know, and thinking that God is going to be well pleased with it. We have to do it the way the Bible says do it. We have to search truth, holy truth, and live that which is according to God's will. Only those that do the will of my Father. To forget who we are. Literally, forget who we are. We don't want that to ever happen to us. Forget who we are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I knew you not. So we want him to remember us, present us before his Father, faultless. Amen. We're going to stop here on tonight. We don't want to wear your soul or wear your spirit. We just simply went back tonight and did a review. We were talking last week about the Millennium Kingdom, how God will set up his kingdom here on the earth with a thousand-year rule after the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won. Satan is bound. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. The Antichrist, they're thrown into the bottomless pit. There's going to be a kingdom where there's peace on earth. It's called the Millennium Kingdom. And from Jerusalem, Jesus will rule the universe from the throne of David. From his throne, he will rule the universe from the earth. The Millennium Kingdom. And we thank God for it. So we bless the Lord. Next week we will come back and we will pick up our studies. Pretty much talked about Daniel's 70th week as far as the treaty being broken. That's what we'll come back and pick up, talking about the Great Tribulation. Jesus told them, when you see these things, flee. For us, we know that the man child, the come forth woman, God has prepared a place for Israel for 3.5 years. It's going to be a sealing of the 144,000 evangelistic Jews that will be sealed in their foreheads. Of course, after the middle of the week, they too have a rapture. Or if they are removed from the earth. So we thank the Lord. Next week, we'll pick up our studies from the Great Tribulation. And Jesus said there will be a time like there's been never before. So we thank God for this word on tonight concerning the end time. And, of course, like anything else, it's what the world is going to face. The things that are to come, the things that are at hand. So we thank the Lord. Is there any questions at this time concerning anything that we talked about? If there's no question, we're going to pray. We're going to close out. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Father, we want to tell you thank you for the lesson on tonight. Thank you for your word that you sent on record concerning the signs of the times that we're living in the end of the age. Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to talk and reveal the mystery things of God. We ask you for the hearts of men and women everywhere to be open to receive your word. And Father, we ask for, like anything else, Father, we ask that your word would accomplish the very thing that you sent it to accomplish, which is to edify and to arm the people of God concerning the things to come on this earth. Make us wise concerning your word, Lord God. Open up our understanding. Open up our hearts, Lord God, to learn it. Teach us your will, your precepts, and your principles. Write your word upon the tables of our heart that we might not sin against you. Father, we ask for love in the family, that you do a revival in the family, that you bring lives back, broken lives, fragmented lives back together again. In the name of Jesus, we pray for family, Lord. We pray for healing in the family and deliverance for the family. Pray for the prosperity of the family, that you would cause families to prosper and be in good health, even as the soul prosper. Bless us, Lord, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept, is our prayer. You were wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace, God, is upon you. And with your stripes, God, we are healed. Thank you, Lord God, for all things. We praise your holy and righteous name. We give your name praise. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God, and we thank God. Amen.